Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chuck Carlson of We Hold These Truths will join me at 8 o'clock this morning Central Time for a two-hour conversation about those things that are going on both domestically and in the Middle East that we need to be aware of in this day and time. We have a number of items to report to you today, including an interesting post from Haaretz. There is a report by Yossi Melman of the Haaretz in Israel that the UK police increasingly suspect that a Mossad spy was murdered. Melman says that evidence brought by a new witness has increased British police suspicions that an Egyptian spy for the Mossad did not fall to his death in June, but was in fact murdered, the Times reported on Wednesday. London police are set to interview the witness, who claims to have seen two men on the balcony of Dr. Ashraf Marwan's apartment in the moments after he fell to his death. The body of Marwan, 62, who warned Israel ahead of the outbreak of the Yom Kippur War, was found on the sidewalk near his apartment in London. The Times reported that the witness said the men, wearing suits and of Mediterranean appearance, peered over the balcony at his body before disappearing into the inside the apartment. London's Metropolitan Police admitted, however, that Marwan's shoes, an essential piece of evidence, have disappeared and are feared to be destroyed. The shoes would have helped prove whether the Mossad agent had fallen off his balcony and had stepped on something before doing so, or was thrown off it by someone else. A well-to-do businessman, Marwan had lived in London since the late 1970s. He was married to the daughter of the late Egyptian President Gamal Abdel Nasser and former political and security advisor to President Sadat. That's been a story that has been popping up ongoingly in the news in recent weeks. And there you have it again. London police are set to interview a witness who claims to have seen two men on the balcony of Dr. Ashraf Marwan's apartment in the moments after he fell to his death. Curious story. We'll keep watching it for you. If there's anything more to report on this beyond what Yossi Melman has said at the Haaretz, we will bring it to you. Harmony Grant has a post today with the National Prayer Network entitled, "Israel's Most Dangerous Christian." Quote, "I want to tell those who say I am a traitor that I suffered here for 18 years because I am a Christian," unquote. Harmony says that in 2004, a brave, sober-eyed Jew named Mordecai emerged from almost two decades in a Mideastern hell of a prison. Why was he in prison? After 9 years employed at Israel's top-secret nuclear installation, Dimona, Mordecai went public with the fact of tiny Israel's stockpile of 150 to 200 nuclear weapons and his development of a hydrogen bomb, which can kill millions of human beings. He spoke as an eyewitness at a time when the nation denied it even possessed nukes. For speaking the truth, Mordecai was abducted from Italy, drugged and gagged and imprisoned. His first 2 years were spent in a small room where a light and surveillance camera were trained on him 24 hours a day. He spent his first 11 and a half years in solitary confinement. Amnesty International described his treatment as cruel, inhuman, and degrading. Our friendly democratic ally, quote-unquote, imprisoned Mordecai Vanunu for exposing the nuclear power it concealed from the world, including us. Israel has now sentenced Vanunu to 6 more months in prison for speaking to the foreign press. The whistleblower, now 49, unmarried, unemployed, forbidden to leave Israel, has no secrets left. What he has to say is that he suffered as a Christian in a state that is not free, not humane, and punished him for accepting Christ as well as for speaking a truth that matters to the future of the human race. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chuck Carlson of We Hold These Truths comes on this morning at 8 o'clock. Stay tuned.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chuck Carlson of We Hold These Truths, which you can find at WHTT.org, will be with us at 8 o'clock this morning Central Time for a couple of hours' worth of conversation. We, of course, had Dale Crowley on yesterday. Dale is the old hand of Focus on Israel at WFAX AM 1200 up in Washington. And I've found that an hour was a good time with Dale, but I would have loved to have had him for two because there were a series of things he did not get time enough to cover that hopefully we'll get a chance to cover for you when he's on this coming Wednesday. And for right now, Dale Crowley is with us for one-hour segments from 9 to 10 a.m. Central on Wednesdays. Eventually, I'd like to see him consider going to 2 hours simply because he has a number of things that he likes to discuss from week to week that will make the time pass very quickly. So we'll see how that goes in the days ahead. But Chuck Carlson will be with us this morning at 8 o'clock. We're back to this whole business of Mordecai Vanunu, as Harmony Grant outlines it for us at the National Prayer Network. She goes on to say that Vanunu's story and his testimony for Christ are virtually unknown to the millions of American Christians who support and even fund the very prisons, ultra-Orthodox settlements, and anti-Christian government that oppresses Christians in Israel. Pastor John Hagee's website brags that he has visited Israel 22 times and, quote, given more than $8.5 million to bring Soviet Jews from the former Soviet Union to Israel, unquote. In all these visits, says Harmony Grant, Hagee has apparently never seen the harsh reality of Israel's institutionalized hatred of Jesus Christ. Maybe Mordecai could give him just one tour. I was baptized into Christianity, says Vanunu, who changed his name to the Christian name John Carson in 2005 to reflect his total identification with Christ, not his Jewish ancestors. Quote, if I was a Jewish believer in Judaism, I would not have had all this suffering, isolation, only because I am a Christian, unquote. During his 11 years of isolation, Mordecai resisted his captors' demands by reading the New Testament loudly in English. Upon his release from Ashkelon prison in 2004, Vanunu took refuge in St. George's Cathedral. It was stormed by 30 armed Israeli police that November to question him about speaking to foreign media. Today, quote, I am still free, unquote, Vanunu tells supporters through his website. He plans a September appeal of his sentence of 6 more months in prison. Vanunu told Democracy Now! That his press interviews were about freedom of speech, freedom of movement, my human being, my human rights. He explained, quote, in all what I have to say is my political view, and I have the right to speak them if Israel is a real democracy. And I hope you in the United States will support me and support my right to freedom of speech, unquote. He said, quote, I don't think they will be stupid enough to arrest me or to question, but they can do anything. It is Israel. Israel, all the world knows, they're able to do anything, unquote. He's right, says Harmony Grant. This isn't the U.S., it's Israel, and Vanunu faces the possibility of life locked up again. He has lost the strong years of his youth. He longs to escape Israel, to find a wife and a job and the freedom of the United States. Instead, he remains trapped, a prisoner in the promised land. Harmony Grant goes on to say that to American evangelicals, the dusky desert hills and rolling valleys of Israel represent the land where Christ walked, a romanticized notion precious with history. Evangelicals believe it is where God's chosen people must prosper before the eventual return of Christ brings their conversion. Israeli Christians like Vanunu worship the same Jesus Christ adored by evangelicals. They too treasure the Son of God who once walked in the Sea of Galilee and hung from that lonely cross at Golgotha. But to most of them, the land of modern Israel is becoming a prison, not a spiritual paradise. They experience the real Israel, where Christ cannot be spoken of to minors, where modern-day Pharisees base laws in the evil Babylonian Talmud, and where truth-tellers like Vanunu are locked away and spit upon, like Christ. In 1997, President Ezra Weitzman had this to say about Vanunu, quote, he was a spy who gave away secrets, and the fact that he did so for conviction rather than for money makes no difference. He was a traitor to his country, unquote. Vanunu is also a quote-unquote traitor because of his acceptance of Christ. Just as Jesus opposed the Judaism of his day, Vanunu betrayed the Judaism of his. It is the religion that undergirds Zionism, an increasing danger to the world, amassing powerful weapons of mass destruction, and resting on an orthodox fundamentalism that grows only more anti-Gentile and anti-Christ. Vanunu has exposed more than his nation's nuclear secret. His story shows the secret of their national identity, that Israel is no friend of Christianity. Christians in the U.S. must realize the enormous antagonism of Talmudic Judaism, the official religious position of the State of Israel, toward Christianity. The idealized Judaism of evangelicals' imagination does not exist in Israel. Vanunu suffered at the hands of this religious state, and he still suffers today. Christ also suffered and was crucified. Christians are called to resist, not with violence or weapons, but with truth spoken in love. Instead, the truth today funds the State of Israel, the church today funds the State of Israel, and its atrocities against the Palestinians and believers who work for justice and peace. If it weren't for American Christians' unbiblical support of Israel, this tiny Mideast nation would not even possess nuclear weapons. It would not have prisons in which to torture Palestinians or lock men like Vanunu away from human touch. The State of Israel was founded and settled and is now run primarily by European Jews and their children who flock to the Promised Land. Despite their idealism, the result has become a Judeo-fascist anti-Arab state. It is a society based on the worship of Talmudic Pharisaic religion and very real racism against Gentiles. American evangelicals, says Harmony Grant, will have to answer for supporting the captors of this gentle Israeli Christian. Interesting story today, which we will probably discuss with Chuck Carlson when he comes on, what the latest is with Mr. Vanunu, and what Chuck is doing about exposing this and a series of other news items to the American evangelical community around the country as an alternative to what they're going to hear about Israel from John Hagee and from Cornerstone Church in San Antonio and the so-called Christians United for Israel. Worried about the economy? You should be. I suspect that when you look at what has happened to the manufacturing sector of the economy and now what we're seeing in terms of the instability of the central banking system, that it might be time to become a little bit concerned. There's an article in yesterday's London Financial Times in the Companies and Markets section that I think underscores just how serious this mortgage subprime loan scandal might prove to be. Matthias Chang, of course, has been sending updates to me on this from Malaysia, talking about the fact that four of our most significant banks have been taking out loans in a fashion that should cause us some matter of concern. These banks, including Bank of America and Chase and Citicorp and Wachovia, have been receiving the benefits of the Fed's so-called discount rate. The discount rate was lowered in order that these central banks could receive this money. And when you look at this whole business of the discount rate, what Matthias Chang underscores in his Red Alert is the fact that the discount rate loans are, according to statute, supposed to be paid back within one business day of having been issued. But now we see a situation where the Fed, in its discount rate loans to these specific banks, has given them a 30-day renewable payment, repayment term. What does that mean? It means that some of our most significant banks, according to Matthias Chang, are in a real serious cash flow crunch situation. I think that there is corroborative evidence for what Matthias is talking about just in yesterday's London Financial Times. Most of you know something about the Carlyle Group, which is described by the London Financial Times as the U.S. private equity firm. Take a look at the Carlyle Group and search it with the names Bush and Rumsfeld. Search it with the names of some of our leading defense contractors, and you'll start seeing the extent to which this Carlyle Group goes an awful long way toward proving to be a microcosm of the constituency that is behind this entire crisis and that is behind what is going on in the Middle East. In this story in yesterday's London Financial Times, we are told that Carlyle has apologized for its lapse. Its lapse. Martin Arnold and Andrew Slade in London report that the Carlyle Group, the U.S. private equity firm, apologized to shareholders yesterday for a lapse in communication, quote-unquote, after extending a second $100 million loan to a mortgage-backed securities fund it listed last month on Euronext Amsterdam. The apology and the rescue loan, the second in as many weeks, were an attempt by Carlyle to draw a line under the crisis at Carlyle Capital Corporation, which has suffered a steady stream of bad news since floating on July the 4th. Announcing a $900 million asset sale to cover margin calls by lenders, the Guernsey-based fund said worried investors had asked for details of its asset portfolio, but received only press releases and website information in reply, quote, because Carlyle Capital Corporation is subject to various rules and regulations pertaining to selective disclosure, we relied on our press releases and our website instead of communicating directly with individual shareholders, unquote. It said in an email to investors yesterday. This is Mark Dancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chuck Carlson of We Hold These Truths joins us at 8 o'clock this morning Central. Stay tuned.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chuck Carlson of WeHoldTheseTruths.org joins me at 8 o'clock this morning Central Time. That again is at WHTT.org. We took a look this morning at Harmony Grant's post on Mordecai Vanunu at the National Prayer Network. We've been talking in recent minutes about this whole business pertaining to the Carlyle Group and subprime mortgage loans. The London Financial Times just yesterday, in the Companies and Markets section, has a piece entitled Carlyle Apologizes for Lapse, quote-unquote. Martin Arnold and Andrew Slade in London report that the Carlyle Capital Corporation has had a stream of bad news since floating on July the 4th. They've announced a $900 million asset sale to cover margin calls by lenders. And the Guernsey-based fund, the Carlyle Capital Corporation, said that worried investors that asked for details of its asset portfolio but received only press releases and website information in reply. A most interesting set of circumstances. Carlyle Group apologized for this lapse in communication after extending a second $100 million loan to a mortgage-backed securities fund it listed last month on Euronext Amsterdam. This is very, very interesting information because Carlyle is apparently involved in some incremental loaning. But excuse me, Matthias Chang was explaining this to the rest of us in regard to what the Fed has been doing with the discount rate. Rather than loan the banks in trouble the amount of actual money that they would need to have a chance of weathering this crisis, Matthias Chang was explaining that the Feds are going to dole out the money incrementally in order that people might not connect the dots and become alarmed by the amount of money that is being lent to these big-name operations like Wachovia and Bank of America and J.P. Morgan and Chase Manhattan. The same thing is apparently going on with the Carlyle Group and its second incremental loan now of $100 million to a mortgage-backed securities fund listed last month on Euronext Amsterdam. But as information about these loans continues to be made public, both what the Federal Reserve is doing with the discount loan situation with individual banking conglomerates, and what in turn those banking conglomerates and mutual funds conglomerates and private equity firms are doing when it comes to the people that they're lending money to in turn, you can kind of see where this whole thing might be headed. It's not headed in the good information, in a good direction, quite clearly. And as you look at the information on this, it becomes abundantly clear that there is a very serious issue. The shares, by the way, of Carlyle Capital Corporation fell $1 to $14, well below the issue price of $19. The London Financial Times goes on to say that investors in an earlier private placement were upset by the limited disclosure, as they were less accustomed to the stricter rules for listed vehicles. Carlyle's difficulties raise questions about how quoted private equity firms such as Blackstone will cope with the extra demands of being publicly listed. You can go on and read the rest of this story in the August 29th London Financial Times on page 13 in the so-called Companies and Markets section. But it's very, very interesting that this information, which I suppose at one level should be on the very front page of the London Financial Times, nonetheless makes its way to us even on page 13. And as you look at this whole thing with the Carlyle Capital Corporation, there's another fact in this London story from the Financial Times that leaps out at us from yesterday. We're told that the Carlyle Capital Corporation has suffered as the U.S. subprime crisis hit the AAA-rated mortgage-backed securities issued by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the government-sponsored institutions, which account for 95% of its portfolio. The fund said its business model was designed to, quote, withstand a liquidity event equal to the events of October of 1998 when the demise of long-term capital management threatened the financial markets. It added, quote, the recent liquidity disruption is significantly worse than the events of 1998, unquote. Matthias Chang, of course, again, has been updating me from Malaysia in regard to these matters, along with some other people in his email list. We are watching this with extreme concern and with extreme interest. What, pray tell, is afoot in the Middle East when we look at this whole business of the central banking crisis related to the subprime mortgage loans, and when we see these private equity firms doling out money to mortgage-backed vehicles that have caused much of this difficulty to begin with? Very, very interesting to watch, folks. Will there be another war, a wider war, as a means of covering for this latest catastrophe, this latest crisis in the central banking system? Matthias Chang, I suspect, would think so. He makes the point in his book, Brainwashed for War, Programmed to Kill, which you can buy through the American Free Press, that when you start talking about easy money or funny money, when the Federal Reserve Board can expand the money supply at will in order to finance wars, this at one level is a very, very profitable endeavor for central banks. On the other hand, with the amount of money that is being printed and with the constant expansion of the money supply, we now run the risk, don't we, that the currency will be inflated beyond recognition, potentially in a fashion quite similar to what happened in the Weimar Republic before the advent of Hitler during the salad days of the National Socialist Movement in Germany. We're also watching the way in which this mortgage subprime situation is affecting the markets and the way in which various people are robbing Peter to pay Paul. How much of this can go on? Cross your fingers, folks. We're in for a bumpy ride. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chuck Carlson, if we hold these truths, joins us at 8 o'clock this morning. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
we're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chuck Carlson of WeHoldTheseTruths.org will join me at about 8 o'clock this morning Central Time for a two-hour conversation about some of the things that he's up to. His unheralded news releases, which you can get through WeHoldTheseTruths.com, are very good ones, by the way. They're absolutely outstanding. Chuck has a post dated, I think, yesterday, entitled, It's the News You Rarely See. It's the News You Rarely See. That's the sort of thing that will give you, I think, a real bird's eye view of what We Hold These Truths is all about. Because he talks about the news that we don't see, the news that is deliberately withheld from us. Absolutely imperative, I think, that we get to this whole business this morning of what is going on in the world, the seen world, as well as the unseen. Hold on just a minute. My technician was sending me a message. I'm sending him one in return, and we will continue as with this whole business this morning of, let's see, the genocide controversy. The genocide controversy. Ken is telling me that it's okay now that my transmission is coming through. So let's take a look at the genocide controversy this morning as Haaretz reports it. What is going on in this whole business of the Armenian genocide and the movements of both Israel and the Anti-Defamation League on this subject of whether or not there was, in 1915, a catastrophe that befell the Armenian people that could fairly be defined as genocide? The Jewish Daily Forward, remember Pastor Crowley was talking about that publication yesterday on the show, the Jewish Daily Forward has a post today by Mark Perlman entitled, The Armenian Genocide Crisis Tests Tight Ties Between Turkey and Israel. Perlman says that Turkish, Israeli, and American Jewish officials held frantic consultations in the past week in an effort to defuse a diplomatic crisis prompted by the Anti-Defamation League's recent description of the Ottoman massacre of Armenians during World War I as, quote, tantamount to genocide, unquote. Senior Israeli and American Jewish officials went out of their way to restate Jerusalem's long-held view that the historical dispute should be resolved between Turkey and Armenia, a position shared by Washington as well as most major American Jewish organizations. The ADL itself tried to calm tensions by issuing a statement opposing a congressional resolution recognizing that a genocide took place and by sending a letter to Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan expressing deep regret and the desire to deepen our friendship, quote-unquote. And after initially warning Israeli diplomats and American Jewish leaders that the ADL's use of the word genocide could jeopardize years of efforts to forge close ties between Jerusalem and Ankara, the Turkish government also sounded a conciliatory note, quote, everyone wants a period of calm, unquote, Navi Sensoy, Turkey's ambassador to the United States, told the Forward after holding talks with key Jewish communal leaders, quote, we have to avoid at all costs the derailment of good relations between Turks and Jews, unquote. Both the extent of these good relations and their vulnerability to disagreement over the massacre of Armenians were put on stark display by the flare-up. Israel and its supporters in the United States have been nurturing ties with the Turkish government for years, maintaining close relations even after Erdogan's Islamist party took office in 2002. Turkey, for its part, has cultivated Jewish support in Washington in an effort to secure American diplomatic and military support and to prevent Congress from involving itself in the Armenian issue. The decades-long ties between Turkey and Israel's supporters in the United States strengthened considerably during the 1990s when Jerusalem and Ankara reached a number of business and military agreements. In recent years, former Congressman Richard Gephardt, Bob Livingston, and Steve Solars joined the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee in lobbying Washington to give military aid to Ankara and to fight off congressional efforts to pass a resolution recognizing the Armenian genocide, according to several sources familiar with the issue. Most Jewish organizations are quick to underscore that Turkey became the first Muslim country to recognize Israel, praising it as a rare Muslim ally of Israel and the United States. Jewish communal officials have hailed Ankara's commitment to fighting anti-Semitism and terrorism. Its support for Megan David Adam's candidacy for membership in the International Committee of the Red Cross, and its willingness to mediate between Israel and both the Palestinians and the Syrians. While tensions have surfaced over Ankara's refusal to allow American troops to use Turkish territory to invade Iraq in 2003, and over meetings between Turkish officials and Hamas leaders, last week's flare-up was notable for revolving around an issue considered to be tangential to Jewish and Israeli interests. As Ankara continued to make clear this week, Turkish cooperation is dependent in no small part on the understanding that the topic of Armenian genocide is not one for public debate. Sensoy told the Jewish Forward that Turkey was, quote, very disappointed, unquote, by the ADL's statement, quote, because it changed the premise of everything we had achieved with the U.S. Jewish community, unquote. The ADL described the massacres of Armenians by Ottoman Turks as, quote, tantamount to genocide, unquote, last week, after declining for years to take a position on the question. 2 days later, the group issued a second statement stating that a congressional resolution would be a, quote, counterproductive diversion, unquote, that may, quote, put at risk the Turkish Jewish community and the important multilateral relationship between Turkey, Israel, and the United States, unquote. Other major Jewish groups have been mostly mum on the issue. In a blog post, the American Jewish Committee's executive director, David Harris, wrote that while he could not escape the conclusions of credible experts that the 1915 events were in fact genocide, quote-unquote, he argued, as Ankara does, that Turkish and Armenian historians should review the record and seek common ground. While several European countries have passed laws referring to the massacres as genocide, both the Israeli and American governments have refused to make such a determination, and efforts to have their legislative branches adopt such language have so far failed. In March, the Knesset shelved a proposal for a parliamentary discussion on the Armenian genocide, but on Capitol Hill, a non-binding resolution recognizing that a genocide took place has picked up some support since Democrats regained a majority in last year's midterm elections. Foxman, Abraham Foxman, told the Forward that he has had numerous conversations about the issue in recent days and stressed that the ADL had not changed its position on the congressional resolution. The ADL did, however, rehire its New England regional director, Andrew Tarsi, after firing him for publicly breaking with the national leadership and acknowledging the Armenian genocide. Foxman said he had made the decision after a series of conversations and that this effectively meant Tarsi agreed with the ADL's opposition to the passage of a congressional resolution. Quote, we want to make sure the Turkish government understands that the use of the word genocide doesn't change our position on what Congress needs to do, Foxman told the Jewish Forward. Some people don't understand it. Some people understand it, and the Turkish prime minister is among them, unquote. Foxman was referring to remarks Erdogan made to reporters Sunday, in which he said that, quote, the wrong step that has been taken is corrected, unquote. Prior to Erdogan's response, Ankara had lashed out both to express disappointment and to prevent other Jewish groups from following suit. Turkey's foreign minister, Abdullah Gül, complained bitterly to Israel's ambassador in Ankara, Pinhas Avivi, that Israel could have done more to prevent the ADL shift during a tense meeting last Thursday, Haaretz reported. Israeli President Shimon Peres spoke last week with Erdogan to explain that Israel had no intention of changing its neutral policy on the issue. Turkey's ambassador to Israel, Namik Tan, made clear to the Jerusalem Post on Sunday that Ankara expects at least as much from Israel, demanding that Jerusalem, quote-unquote, deliver American Jewish organizations and ensure that Congress does not pass the genocide resolution. Quote, Israel should not let the Jewish community change its position, Tan reportedly said. This is our expectation, and this is highly important, unquote. That's what we are told today on this very interesting story from the Jewish Daily Forward. This is Mark Perlman's post of yesterday, entitled The Armenian Genocide Crisis Tests Tight Ties Between Turkey and Israel. Potentially those ties are going to become even more tense Because when we look at the London Financial Times of yesterday, of course, there's a front page story indicating that Mr. Gold, the foreign minister, has now been elected as the secular country's first president with an Islamist background. The London Financial Times says that the post is largely ceremonial but still influential. In a previous attempt by Mr. Gul's Justice and Development Party to get him elected in April, saw millions of Turks take to the streets and sparked an angry response from the military that forced early elections. Once again, we see the way in which this Middle Eastern thing continues to tighten in regard to this whole situation of Israel and the Palestinians, in regard to this whole business of what is going on with Iran and Afghanistan and Pakistan. But now in a very interesting and renewed way, we see the way in which the Armenian genocide crisis has re-entered the picture in regard to focus. And the Anti-Defamation League, it seems to me, is trying to walk a very perilous tightrope, acknowledging in a backhanded sort of way that, in fact, what did happen to the Armenians in 1915 was genocide, or the way they put it in this very, very carefully crouched language, tantamount to genocide. I don't think it is tantamount to genocide. I think it's genocide, folks. That's the first thing that needs to be said. The second is that Abe Foxman and the Anti-Defamation League, of course, who trip over themselves to ensure that whether we're talking about the American Congress or we're talking about European parliaments, that every resolution imaginable pertaining to the so-called Holocaust of Jews during the Second World War is reaffirmed and reissued by these bodies. Why then the attempt on the part of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith to keep the United States Congress from recognizing and formally going on the record as saying that this 1915 tragedy that befell the Armenians at the hands of the Turks was in fact genocide? The ADL has a couple of things going on here. One is that as an extension of the Israeli intelligence community, the Anti-Defamation League really reflects official Jewish Israeli policy in so many respects. And when you look at this whole business of the Armenian genocide, Israel at one level wants to continue maintaining a political alliance with Turkey that's a very tenuous one. They're concerned, of course, that if the United States Congress comes forth with a resolution recognizing that what happened in 1915 to the Armenians is genocide, that this somehow will cause an ongoing difficulty for Israel in its relationship with Turkey. Why should that be? Well, because the Turks know what everybody else knows, and that is that the United States Congress is nothing more than an extension of the government of Israel. So if the United States Congress chooses to do something, the Turks assume that it has the imprimatur of the American Jewish lobby's stamp. That's a fact. That's a fact. It's very clear that the Turks perceive it that way. Therefore, it is quite comical as well as tragic to see the extent to which an official action of the United States Congress that may or may not happen suddenly has the Turks watching with great interest. And the Turks are basically saying to the Anti-Defamation League and to the government of Israel that the government of Israel needs to deliver these American Jewish organizations, deliver them, in regard to coming up with a uniform position on the subject of Armenian genocide that fits what Turkey once said and what it does not want said. And that, in turn, the implication is clear that if Israel can deliver the American Jewish organizations at the request of Turkey, that presumably those American Jewish organizations can deliver the vote in the United States Congress, or the lack of a vote, depending on what it is that will suit Turkish needs best in this situation, and Israeli interests as well. Folks, what does this say about foreign control of the American Congress? It says a great deal, doesn't it? And I think we can look very effectively at this story that is appearing to us today, as Pastor Crowley would point out, in a reputable Jewish source, the so-called Jewish Daily Forward. This is not something that is coming to us today from some of these populist right American sources that we trust. The Jewish community is printing this information, and the information in it is transparent in regard to the implications involved. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073. 3073 or on the web at kensolar.com.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chuck Carlson of We Hold These Truths will join me in about 5 minutes from now. We're going to be talking about a series of things that relate to news items in the Middle East as well as news items domestically. You can find Chuck's website at WHTT.org. Folks, it's that time in the broadcast to ask you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can do so at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. We also need to ask you to support the American Free Press. You can call them at 1-888-699-NEWS. 1-888-699-NEWS. Why do we ask you to support these entities? Yes, we need money to continue and to continue at an effective level, month after month and year after year. We also need your prayers. We also need you to be our spokesman. The things that all of you are available of doing online, you may not entirely recognize. But if you were to contact every person on your own email lists with information about the Republic Broadcasting Network and to ask them to do the same, you would continue helping us to increase our own constituency. In other words, you're the best advertisers that we have, that we're out there, and that we're doing the things that we need to be doing on your behalf. Folks, these are perilous times. I think whether you're looking at the Middle East or you're looking at the central banking crisis or the cancer of what has happened to our culture, it becomes abundantly clear that corporate media is not giving you the truth. They're not giving you the information that you need to understand what's going on. Neither are they giving you the information that you need to act upon what you know in a way to protect yourself and to protect your family members and friends. I trust that the Republic Broadcasting Network and the American Free Press are doing that. Mark Glenn has described the American Free Press as America's last real newspaper. I would say that in many respects, you can say that the Republic Broadcasting Network is the last truth network that's out there. The last place where you can tune in day after day, night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year, and hear the quality of radio shows with the guests that we bring to you that will keep you and your family members informed. Support the Republic Broadcasting Network and support the American Free Press to the extent of your abilities. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719 for RBN. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. The other part of the triad is this. Support Ron Paul in his quest for the presidency. He needs your gifts, and he needs you now. We'll be back with Chuck Carlson at WeHoldTheseTruths.org. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. Of the Tiger. With